RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. PLN to offer bonds for repatriated funds. Taiwan doesn't limit number of Indonesian migrant workers. Now, the news in details. President Director of State-Owned Electricity Company PLN, Sofian Basir, said that his company is ready to issue bonds to absorb funds repatriated from overseas as a result of the government's tax amnesty program. However, Sofian did not disclose the value of the bonds, saying that would be known only after the cake carved by the SOE minister. He also did not say when this would be issued. He clarified that the PLN would issue the bonds before the tax amnesty period comes to an end on March 31, 2017. The PLN has many power-generating projects, and a decision has to be made about which ones can be financed through loans and which ones through bond sales yields. The government is planning to mobilize the repatriated funds for financing infrastructure and energy projects. Chief Economic Minister Darmin Nasution had previously underlined that state-owned companies could be involved in utilizing these funds, and the government would have to choose the best ones for the purpose. Taiwanese government said it would not set limit for the number of Indonesian migrant workers in Taiwan. Deputy Director of General of Labor Development of the Taiwanese Labor Ministry, Tsai Meng-liang, told Antara News Agency in Taipei on Friday that the Taiwanese people are getting well along with Indonesian workers, especially after Taiwan stopped recruitment of Vietnamese workers for frequent law offenses and breach of working contracts. He said there were 590,000 migrant workers in Taiwan, and Indonesians are the largest number, reaching 240,000, including 180,000 as housemates. Vietnamese are the second largest, totaling 170,000, followed by Philippines workers, 130,000. Indonesian government is planning moratorium policy of opening new oil palm plantation, especially in forest areas, to be effective in 5 years. Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution has said recently that moratorium is ruled to concentrate more on replanting and improvement of productivity. Darmin said the moratorium is the continuation of the program postponing the opening of land for new oil palm plantation effective as from 2011. He said the availability of data is crucial in the implementation of the planned moratorium, as without data, it would be difficult to solve any problem in the field. The drafting of the presidential's instructions and the in-press norms about moratorium for forests and peatlands to be used for oil palm plantation are expected to be ready in the next coordinating meeting. An academician from a Korean university is offering to implement an effective strategy in Yogyakarta to reduce the number of accidents involving children after such methods yielded impressive results in Korea. The head of National Safety Administration of the Gaesun University, Korea, Professor Hoo Ok, is giving a glimpse into this strategy at a discussion titled Efforts to Reduce the Number of Accidents Involving Children in Yogyakarta at the University of Gajah Mada on Friday. Professor Hu views that three main elements play a major role in Korea in reducing the number of accidents in which children are involved. These are educational aspects, aspects of the facility where such accidents could happen, and legal and regulatory aspects. He also underlined that the Gachon University and the University of Gajah Mada are planning to implement a program called the Korean Way. The program that will run for 3 years will be implemented in Yogyakarta in 2017. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesia Stock Exchange saw foreign investor recording another net buy, the fifth time this week, of 1.2 trillion rupiah on Friday's trade. Indonesia Stock Exchange records showed that foreign investors bought 1.30 billion units of shares worth 4.05 trillion rupiah and sold 1.27 billion shares for 2.84 trillion rupiah. The trading floor closed today with a transaction value total of 7.64 trillion rupiah from the trading of some 6.52 billion units of shares. The Jakarta Composite Index closed with a gain of 0.52% to level 5,110.18 after spending the day swaying between 5,090.25 and 5,110.18. The Indonesia Stock Exchange on Friday traded 532 stocks, of which 164 posted price gains, 126 weakened, and 242 unchanged. Indonesian government is closely observing the situation in Turkey, according to a press release received by RRI World Service in Jakarta on Saturday. Indonesia emphasized the importance of respect towards constitution and democracy principles. The Indonesian government hopes that the situation in Turkey will recover soon, according to the press release. The Indonesian government also asked Indonesian citizens in Turkey to remain calm and to temporarily stay at home while monitoring further situation, adding that Indonesian citizens need also to communicate with the Indonesian embassy in Ankara and consulate general in Istanbul. The government also encouraged Indonesian citizens willing to travel to Turkey, especially Ankara and Istanbul in the near future, to also monitor security situation in advance before departure. Indonesian citizens in Turkey are reaching about 2,700 people. 800 of them stay in Istanbul, while other 400 are in Ankara. The National Commission on Human Rights formed an evaluation team to deal with terrorism. The team consisted of 13 people representing interfaith leaders, civil societies, and academia. The team was formed related to the potential radicalism and terrorism in Indonesia. The team member, Bushiro Mukoras, held a press conference in Jakarta on Friday by stating that this team will be evaluating apparatus that combating terrorism in order to work on track. According to him, to deal terrorism must uphold the principles of universal human rights.
Kami akan bekerja 3 bulan ke depan. Tujuannya,
we will work for the next 3 months to evaluate terrorism combat by the government, namely by the police and the National Counter-Terrorism Agency, if they work on track or not. Terrorism combat must meet the enforcement of morality, law principle, and the universal principle of human rights. The third one must meet the honesty principles, and the fourth is to meet the transparency in its process. Bushra Mukoda's father explained the team will conduct comprehensive study efforts and detailed academic-based approach is inductive and deductive, which based on facts and theories and norms and international conventions. The assessment will be given to the government. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelago country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
This is Sarah Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with press review. Various significant events that occurred this week are summarized in press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper, which in its editorial on Tuesday, July the 12th, writes, "Behind post-homecoming migration." In the era of President Joko Widodo, public have heard a number of interesting slogans, such as the Maritime Act, Nawacita Trisakti, and Building from the Outskirts. After the Idul Fitri, the latter sounds most relevant. Moreover, on Monday, July the 11th, it was heard that the program of the building on the periphery, namely the regions and villages, have not showed positive results. This can be seen from the high rate of migration from rural to urban area. While in fact, the government has poured transfer funds for rural areas plus village funds, which in total reached 773 trillion rupiah out of 2,000 trillion total budget revenues and expenditures to drive regional development. Related to this topic, according to Kompas, at least two things can still be raised. First, the funds flow brought by travelers to their hometown. According to Kompas, all the funds should not just be used for the purpose of consumption only, but for investment and entrepreneurship as well. Second, according to the Executive Director of the Regional Autonomy Implementation Monitoring Committee, Robert Andy Jaweng, although there is a large fund flows into the region, it was not followed by a control mechanism and evaluation. The success of the Building on the Periphery program can slow the rate of migration and reduce the burden of the big cities. Next is Media Indonesia newspaper, which in an editorial on Tuesday, July the 12th, writes, "Time to resolutely resolve the hostage problem." Four times hostage takings in a span of 4 months is clearly a proof that Abu Sayyaf militant groups have made Indonesia a target. Their goals are the same, that is, demanding ransom money, which is definitely not small. In fact, in the latest hijacking, a splinter group of Abu Sayyaf entered into Malaysian waters and hijacked a fishing boat with some Indonesian crew. Of the 7 crew on board, the hijackers deliberately chose 3 who have Indonesian passports as hostages and took them to the Philippines. In response, President Joko Widodo has sent a letter, even made a phone call directly to President Rodrigo Duterte, calling for a special attention to tackle piracy by Abu Sayyaf, followed by firmer efforts. According to Media Indonesia, the Philippines should not hesitate to give the green light to the Indonesian National Military to enter their territory to release the hostages. Moreover, the military has a record of success in freeing hostages from terrorists. such as when Garuda Indonesia Flight DC-9 was hijacked by terrorists in Thailand on March 11, 1981, as well as the rescue of MV Sinar Kudus ship held hostage by Somalian pirates in 2011, all proof that Indonesia could resolve the problem. Let's end this press review with Republika newspaper, which in editorial on Thursday, July 14, writes, International Islamic University. President Joko Widodo has signed Regulation No. 57 in 2016 on the establishment of the International Islamic University of Indonesia, or UIII. This means the dreams of Muslims in the country to have an international Islamic university would soon be realized. Republika Daily expects the governments to realize the development and do not procrastinate any longer. As the largest Muslim nation, it is time for Indonesia to become one of the centers of world civilization. Through the International Islamic University, the Indonesian Muslim scholars and intellectuals can contribute to the world community. According to Republika, with the presence of the International Islamic University, Indonesian students do not have to go far to study in another country to be an expert or religious scholar. The Daily also hopes that the International Islamic University produces Muslim scholars who could be a solution to the problems facing the world community. That was Press Review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet again in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on July 16, 1945, when the first atomic bomb was tested. Trinity was the code name of the first detonations of nuclear weapon conducted by the United States Army on July 16, 1945, as part of the Manhattan Project. The White Sands Proving Ground, where the test was conducted, was in the Jornada del Muerto Desert, about 35 miles or 56 kilometers southeast of Socorro, New Mexico, on the Alamo Gordo bombing and gunnery range. The only structures originally in the vicinity were the McDonald Ranch House and its ancillary buildings, which scientists used as a laboratory for testing bomb components. A base camp was constructed, and there were 445 people present on the weekend of the test. The code name Trinity was assigned by J. Robert Oppenheimer, the director of the Los Alamos Laboratory, after a poem by John Donne. The test used an implosions-designed plutonium device, informally nicknamed the Gadget, of the same design as the Fat Man bomb later detonated over Nagasaki, Japan on August 9, 1945. The complexities of the design required a major effort from the Los Alamos Laboratory, and concerns about whether it would work led to a decision to conduct the first nuclear test. The next event was in 1968, when Saddam overthrows Iraqi president at the time, Hassan al-Bakr. Saddam Hussein Abdul al-Majid al-Tikriti was the fifth president of Iraq, serving in this capacity from July 16, 1979 until April 9, 2003. A leading member of the Revolutionary Arab Socialist Ba'ath Party, and later the Baghdad-based Ba'ath Party and its regional organization Ba'ath Party Iraq Region, which espoused Ba'athism. A mix of Arab nationalism and Arab socialism, Saddam played a key role in the 1968 coup, later referred to as the July 17 Revolution, that brought the party to power in Iraq. As vice president under the ailing General Ahmed Hassan al-Bakr, and at a time when many groups were considered capable of overthrowing the government, Saddam created security forces through which he tightly controlled conflict between the government and the armed forces. In the early 1970s, Saddam nationalized oil and other industries. The state-owned banks were put under his control, leaving the system eventually insolvent, mostly due to the Iran-Iraq War,
the Gulf War, and UN sanction. Through 1970s, Saddam cemented his authority over the apparatuses of government as oil money helped Iraq's economy to grow at a rapid pace. Positions of power in the country were mostly filled with Sunni Arabs, a minority that made up only a fifth of the population. Saddam formally rose to power in 1979, although he had been the de facto head of Iraq for several years. He suppressed several movements, particularly Shia and Kurdish movement, seeking to overthrow the government or gain independence and maintain power during the Iran-Iraq War and the Gulf War. Whereas some venerated Saddam for his oppositions to Israel, which included the use of military force, he was widely condemned by Western side for the brutality of his dictatorship. And the last event was in 1990 when the Luzon earthquake occurred. The Luzon earthquake occurred on Monday, July 16 at 4:26 p.m. local time on the densely populated island of Luzon in the Philippines. The shock had a surface wave magnitude of 7.8 and produced a 125 kilometers long ground rupture that stretches from Dingalan, Aurora to Cuyapo, Nueva Ecija. The event was a result of a strike-slip movement along the Philippine Fault and the Digdig Fault within the Philippines Fault System. The earthquake's epicenter was near the town of Rizal, Nueva Ecija, northeast of Tabanatuan City. An estimated 1,621 people were killed in the earthquake. Most of the facilities located in central Luzon and the Cordillera region. That was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today, the title is Amnesty Act Facing Obstacle Before Enacted. After the draft on Tax Amnesty Act was passed into law by the House of Representatives on June the 28th, the government is eager to disseminate it to the public. President Joko Widodo, for example, on Thursday, July 14, at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta, held a meeting with economic editors of various media to explain the mechanism and target of the tax amnesty. President Joko Widodo explained 6,500 Indonesian citizens are currently parking their funds in large amount in various banks and financial institutions that are scattered abroad. They mostly work as entrepreneurs and are the target of tax amnesty law application to repatriate their funds into the country. President Joko Widodo said the sources of the funds now parked overseas are, among others, from corruption, from retail deposits in large quantities, and companies that have done transfer pricing. The president is optimistic in the period from August to September this year, the funds will be pouring into the country because they would seek cheap rates. Banks will become a temporary shelter before the funds are released to the industry. The president also denied that the purpose of tax amnesty is to cover the deficit. Long-term objective is to strengthen the economy through the tax base, although the law is only valid for 1 year. However, the government suggests that there are efforts by other parties abroad to impede the success of the policy. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, who was also present at the meeting, claimed to have found a number of other states making efforts to persuade Indonesian citizens who have funds abroad not to follow the tax amnesty policy, including bringing back funds into Indonesia. However, he was reluctant to reveal the country or overseas parties who tried to block the policy. Clearly, the efforts was done by offering a greater advantage if the Indonesians were not willing to shift their funds to Indonesia. Another effort is to offer a residence permit to a permanent resident status in the country. Minister Bambang said the offer is usually not directly to the owners of the funds, but to their children. Meanwhile, in the country, two organizations and four citizens of Indonesia filed a judicial review on tax amnesty law to the Constitutional Court. They said there are at least 21 violations of the Constitution on the application of the tax amnesty law, and they say the tax amnesty harm democracy and the principles of justice, especially for the obedient taxpayers. In the face of the judicial filing, the central government has set up a special team which is directly led by the Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Darmin Nasution. Well, that was focused today on tax amnesty law face obstacles before being applied. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Welcome back again, listener. Here is news in brief. President Director of State-Owned Electricity Company Sofyan Basir said that his company is ready to issue bonds to absorb funds repatriated from overseas as a result of the government's tax amnesty program. Taiwanese government said it would not set limit for the number of Indonesian migrant workers in Taiwan. Indonesian government is planning moratorium policy of opening new oil palm plantation, especially in forest areas, to be effective in 5 years. An academician from a Korean university is offering to implement an effective strategy in Yogyakarta to reduce the number of accidents involving children after such methods yielded impressive results in Korea. The Indonesian Stock Exchange saw foreign investors recording another net buy, the fifth time this week, of 1.2 trillion rupiah on Friday's trade. Indonesian government is closely observing the situation in Turkey. According to a press release received by RRI World Service in Jakarta on Saturday, Indonesia emphasized the importance of respect towards constitution and democracy principles. Listener, that was News in Brief, our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to Pasuruan, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, ski lot race or ski on mud is a tradition of Tambak Lekok villagers, Lekok sub-district Pasuruan Regency East Java. This tradition has been held from generation to generation. Ski lot tradition is folk party of Tambak Lekok villagers as expression of gratitude, abundance of blessing of marine products. This event is also as villagers gathering and also to promote beach tourism object and culture of coastal people. This tradition came from habitual of local fishermen when looking for crabs and scallops by using boat. The location to host kilo tradition is at beach near Lekok Beach, precisely above the muddy fish pond. Listeners, Listeners, ki and English means surfing, and lot in Madurese language is abbreviation of selot, meaning mud. So, skilot means surfing on mud. Participants must compete their speed by using board on mud. The event is the event which is the most waited by Lekok villagers. The participants of skilot are not only adult male, but also adult female and even children. Listeners, the participants of skilot must drive surfing board in the squat position, and one foot must be in the mud as the driver when going forward. When going forward, the participants must catch crab, catfish, and eel. For the winner, he is usually provided an interesting gift. The elephant, the competition villagers usually hold local markets and also dance performances. Visitors can witness skilot comfortably, because race arena is not at the beach but at the muddy fish pond. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring skilot from Pasuruan, East Java Province. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including arts and cultures, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. In today's edition, we'll be discussing Sanskrit language in Indonesian culture and history. Actually, Sanskrit has been known in Indonesia since the days of ancient kingdoms. It is the language used in many ancient inscriptions or documents found by archaeologists in the country.
But why Sanskrit? The language of Indian origin. Not many people know that in the past, Sanskrit was also used in Indonesia, particularly in Java and Bali. Long before people in the Indonesian archipelago became familiar with writing, the influence of India had already left its mark. At places near trade lanes like the coast or big rivers banks, there are evidence of Indonesian contact with international community. Some landmarks found in the archipelago are in the form of upa, or monument with Pallava inscriptions in Sanskrit language, like in Kutai in East Kalimantan. This has proven that Indian element has been found here since the early 5th century. The Indian Sanskrit is often regarded as not a common language but more as a distinct language, primarily used as a subtle or cultured form in speaking. The Sanskrit inscriptions found on Java Island shows ancient Javanese development from time to time. The most developed region in Indonesia then were Java and Sumatra, where many inscriptions in Sanskrit or ancient Malay in Javanese were found. It seems this was influenced by the economic system, as Java and Sumatra were in the international trade route. The Sanskrit inscriptions show that the archipelago continued to grow in line with the influence of India, who brought Hinduism and Buddhism. Sanskrit then was the language of scripture and literature with very complicated grammar. However, those found in Sumatra were a combination of two languages, namely Sanskrit and ancient Malay. The oldest inscriptions found was from the 7th century. Trade relations between Indonesia and India, also China, led to changes in the form of social institution as a result of the spread of Hinduism and Buddhism. Through the findings of these inscriptions, it can be ascertained that the language which origin is India is one of the languages spoken in Indonesia in the 7th up to 1080. Although it came from India, the language was also known in Europe. European traders who come to Indonesia became familiar with Sanskrit and took it home with them. Thus, the language was also widely known in Europe. Well, listeners, that was miscellany for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Isyana Saraswati. Isyana was born in Bandung on 2 May 1993. Besides being a singer, she also creates songs. Her first album was released on 25 November 2015. The album has a title, Explore. The 10 songs in this album are her creation. Listeners, before we talk more about Isyana Saraswati, let's listen to a song entitled Keep Being You.
I can be your lover, you can be my lover. I want you to know. with your flowers, just your hours. Baby, you have bloomed in my heart. So many have tried to, but only you do make me feel like this, yes, you. Baby, we could be together, and nothing but your love forever. I can be your lover, you can be my lover. I won't need nobody but you. Just the way that you move shows me what you can do. I don't need you to prove, 'cause I already knew. Give me love, baby. I just need your love, baby. I don't need you to prove, just keep me. Don't need anything, believe it. My heart feels rich when you're near me. There is no emptiness. A special love and I can feel it deep in my soul. I see you've given me much more. Thank you for the greatest gift of all. Just the way that you
Listeners, Isyana Saraswati graduated from Nanyang Academy of Fine Arts, Singapore, and Royal College of Music, England. Although she is a newcomer in Indonesian music industry, she has a lot of achievement. Song entitled Keep Being You is her first art single in the album of Explore. She and her label agreed that she becomes a producer. It means that she can make music suitable with her feeling. She decided song entitled Keep Being You to be her first single. Initially, the label was hesitant. In fact, the song, which is in English, is able to attract her fans. Listeners, let's enjoy the next song entitled Mimpi, sung by Isyana Saraswati.
Ku telah kehilangan
tersebar, hanya dia meratapi mimpi.
Listeners, a song entitled Mimpi is her fourth single. This song was created by Isyana wholeheartedly. All elements in the song pointed out her private and character in music world, beginning from melody, lyric, and arrangement, are created by removing her emotion. This song was created in 2014 when she was sad. The song is dominated by piano and string as back sound, which is given classical music touching. Well, listeners, to conclude our music corner for today, we'll play two songs entitled Tetap Dalam Jiwa dan Kau Adalah, sung by Isyana. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Terbayang akan jadi seperti ini pada akhirnya. Semua waktu yang pernah kita lewati bersama nyata hilang dan sirna. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. Seribu satu cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini. Bila memang harus berpisah, aku akan tetap setia. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada di dalam jiwa. Tak bisa
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green. aku dan dirimu sudah jadi satu di dalam ikatan percaya. Ini asmaraku, ini asmaramu, tumbuh makin sempurna. Oh,
as I can miracle, and it is more than just physical attraction. Even though we're individuals, but we have this spiritual connection. The passion that is always you, the one and only. Baby, you can call me every time you feel you want me, and I'll be there for you. And I know you too, and I love you. So the world is falling apart.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you. banyak hal yang ku alami, yang ku temui. Saat bersamamu, ku rasa senang, ku rasa sedih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.